This is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Centre in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
Operated by...
I'm good, buddy.
Prison Planet member, subscriber, which, by the way, is a great website. You know, so much awesome information on there and so many great videos. So people really ought to just support it by subscribing. It's not expensive at all. But anyway, I'm a teacher here in Texas, and I was having a conversation yesterday with a former student. They still come back and visit me occasionally. I teach the higher-end AP caliber students who go off to pretty prestigious universities. And he was telling me about all this stuff yesterday. It was amazing. You know, he just brought up the Federal Reserve. He brought up all these topics. And contrary to that, I had a conversation with a student that went off to Princeton and is at the Woodrow Wilson, the prestigious Woodrow Wilson School. And he comes back and talks to me, and he's a complete globalist.
Really? He came back and told you how great it was?
Oh, yeah. It was an amazing contrast. One kid, you know, he's at A&M here in Texas. You know, he's a bright kid, very smart, lit major kind of kid. But the other one, the one at Princeton, the Woodrow Wilson School, we come back, I have a three-hour argument with this kid. He's a complete globalist. He's, when he left me, when he graduated, that is, he was a, you know, you'd probably consider him a standard neocon type. He supported the war, but he also had a lot of constitutional, you know, principles that he embedded in his ideas. He was a young kid. He comes back now, and he's he got to have lunch with Howard Dean, and, you know, you could see him being wooed into this.
They put him in these peer pressure areas, and they had a CNN piece last night about 40 billionaires giving half their money. And you go study it, it says, after three secret meetings, they've decided to give half their money. Well, we have the separate articles about what went on in those secret meetings from the Financial Times of London and others, and it says, for eugenics, forced population reduction, and they had Peter Singer from Princeton in the piece saying how great it was and how it was going to help the poor. Stay there, Chris. I want you to be able to finish your statement on that. Then we're going to go to Frank, Mike, Damon, and others. We'll be right back.
To the Central Texas Command Center. In the heart of the resistance, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
All right, going back to Chris, a school teacher here in Texas. He just joined us. He was talking about one student coming back to visit him from college who's awake to the New World Order, and another coming back and saying, look, I'm part of the elite now. You know, I want globalism. Well, we've seen what globalism does, but I remember seeing an interview with Albert Speer, the head of the Interior Ministry for Adolf Hitler. He's one of the few top Nazis to not be imprisoned or executed because the British liked him. And he could claim that he wasn't part of the overall Nazi machine dealing with the military or the concentration camps. And he said, well, when the devil's got his hand on your shoulder telling you how much he likes you, you don't tend to recognize the devil. And that's what happens. And most people, when they get flown out to a meeting and they go up on the top of a big skyscraper in a huge office with a beautiful secretary bringing them coffee, and they get brought in and told they're going to be given power and that they're special, most people don't even think about selling out. It's not even a thought that they're selling out. They just, wow, this is success. The ladder drops down, and they just start climbing it. And it's the same with academics, with people in banking, people in media, people in law enforcement. You better think twice, ladies and gentlemen. You better think about the world and what it's offering you. And if something looks too good to be true, it is. It is. The road to liberty is a hard road. You're going to be attacked. The road to being a good, decent person is going to be a hard road. I have to try every day to be honest with myself, every day to not be deceptive, because humans just naturally do it. I have to constantly think about what I'm saying, think about what I'm doing, think about how I treat my wife, think about how I treat my family, think about how I treat coworkers. And I still look back and say, I just did something that was wrong. And most people, you know, if you knew me individually, would say, wow, you're an extremely moral, good, nice person. But I know just how bad I am. I'm attempting to be good. I'm attempting to tell the truth. I'm attempting to not twist things in my own mind and then regurgitate it out on people. I know it's a lie that the government loves us and cares about us. I've read literally thousands of their own statements and white papers where they just openly say world government, world extermination. And we've got an article up today. Rockefeller Foundation developed vaccines for mass scale fertility reduction. You can go right to the Rockefeller Foundation and read it. And I know what this big philanthropy push is to get the billionaires to give half their money. They actually put it into an investment fund, tax-free, and get giant profits back. No taxes, and they get to keep the profits as long as it's, quote, invested in the tax-free foundation. And their giant estates, their helicopters, their servants, their investments, it's all tax-free. The Rockefellers for 104 years have been tax-free. And if you're elitist enough, every few decades, a new crop is allowed to join. You know, the media is spinning it like, aren't these 40 billionaires nice to give half their money? If you go research Ted Turner, 12 years ago, giving $1 billion, he's gotten, last time I checked, upwards of $1 billion in interest on investments back. That billion is tax-free in investments that then give part of the profit to the UN. Tax-free. And every one of these initiatives is to come in and dig a well for some Africans. Send in the first wave of nice Peace Corps doctors who mean well and with their humanity sell the African village that they are good. And the Africans, after spending 4 or 5 years with them, cry when they leave. And when the Americans leave, they cry and have little photos of the Africans they're helping back at their homes in New York and Texas and other places. And then the next wave comes in. The eugenicists come in, and those Africans don't know what hit them. They don't know what hit them. You see, they have to domesticate you first, just like our ancestors thousands and thousands of years ago would domesticate horses. There were several ways to do it. You could, with a bow and arrow, kill the mother and then have people waiting at the end of the gorge to capture the colt when it ran away, and then they'd hold it down and feed it and tie it up and train it. That's how the Romans would get slaves. They'd come in, kill all the men, take the women and children. Same way you take a horse. But the other way to do it is just to simply start feeding wild horses and to have them just become accustomed to you over time until you're able to take their colts without killing them. It's the same way to domesticate cows, bovine, pigs, dogs. And just as humans took one major species of wolf, one major species of canine, and created through breeding, the dog, a new subspecies. The elite have come in and engineered us. And you look at the British, you look at the Japanese, intelligent, warlike, dynamic people turned into imperial slaves. To be quiet, to be subservient, to be caste-driven, to bow down to the government. The elite openly in all their publications talk about the two-tier system. And now they're moving with drugs in the water, with social conditioning to make us even more subservient. Wolves befriended humanity, and humanity created dogs. Now a subgroup of social engineers that have developed in every human society have created the slave system. All right, I'm done. I said I'm taking call after call, and I'm not doing that. I'm going to try now. Finish up your points, Chris, in Texas.
Yeah, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, even stranger than that invasion of the body snatchers tale with the Princeton kid is the one that went to MIT and who's now working out in, you know, White Sands, New Mexico, who's had the CIA come and interview his family, and even asking his sister how many songs she's downloaded, and just very, now he's part of this weird clique. And that's what bothers me, Alex, is you get the best and the brightest of us, and they indoctrinate them into this globalist system. They can become part of the clique. And I think they lose sight of, you know, they lose sight of purpose.
Well, you heard Dr. Blaylock, if you were listening 2 days ago. He said he was approached because, you know, he was top of the class in medical school with eugenics, with world government. And he said most of his fellow students went along with it. My father was approached and was horrified by it. But for everybody that says no, they find 10 people that say yes, yes, yes.
Well, Alex, you do a great job, man, and I just want you to keep up the good work. We're doing what we can on our end.
God bless you, Chris, and interesting story you told us there. Very informative.
And good morning, CKLN listeners.
Drifting on a sea of forgotten teardrops, on a lifeboat sailing for
it is Monday. Or Tuesday, rather, August 10th, 2010. You're listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening. That's better. Uh-oh, I was using the wrong crossfader. A little clip of Alex Jones at the beginning talking about people get co-opted by the system. And today, I have promised to take calls more often on this show, so I would like to take calls. The number here is 416-595-1655. Again, 416-595-1655. Feel free to call in about whatever you'd like. I had a conversation yesterday with Professor Yalengi from CongoCoalition.net on CKLN's Word of Mouth Mondays, largely about the Canadians who are killing the Congo and killing Africa. In the sense of companies like Barrick Gold and many other mining companies in particular who have a hand in the devastation involved in Africa. And it stands to reason that if these people are doing that to the Congo and Africa and they're here, well, you know, we can stop them. And you know, if you want to say screw Africa, fine. We can stop them from doing that to us. Because we can judge the character of these people, and I never trust authorities, you know, big institutions and authority, just on its face, because it keeps being proven to be corrupt. So I don't see any real point in trusting authority like that. working in the telecom industry several years ago and telling my old boss, you know, something similar in the sense that none of these guys who I was reading about in Business 2.0 magazine and all the rest of them magazines, none of these guys could predict the telecom bust. And that always bothered me because I was like, you guys are so smart. I've been treating you like you guys are, you know, corporate god CEOs. And then this thing comes out and whacks all of you. It takes Nortel stock from $150 a share down to 50 cents a share. And it's like, wow, you guys really don't know what the hell you're talking about. Or you're lying to us. One or the other. And at certain levels, they don't know. And at certain levels, they're lying to us. Because the whole system is built on lies from top down. It's built on, you know, the kings and queens, the nobility at the top, the banking families, you know, having this crazy mystery religion they believe in, getting all their whack job secret society followers and others to worship it, corrupting them, and then getting them to, by extension, corrupt us. And that's the way the world's worked for some time now. And it's led us to, well, this article from yesterday at Infowars.com. Economists herald new Great Depression. Figures comparable to 1930s. Quote, central bankers have stood in the way of recovery. And yeah, these are the same people complained about for decades by people that look into this information here. The world is currently experiencing, and this is by Steve Watson, Infowars.net. The world is currently experiencing a modern-day equivalent of the Great Depression, according to a prominent economist who has added his voice to scores of others now forecasting ongoing economic doom on a scale not seen since the 1930s. And I was at the Eaton Center, as I am on occasion, which is fairly close to CKLN Radio Studios here, and, you know, noticed that the malls are still full, but we ain't shopping as much. Because of all the crazy sale signs and so on. And it's a recurring theme I bring up here on the show. Just because I think it's important for us to notice things in our environment and not just have a separate online world that we, you know, that we keep separate by not tying it to things in our culture that we can use to explain the bigger picture. So back to the article here. Robin Griffiths, a technical strategist at Casanova Capital, told CNBC Monday that he sees the stock market bottoming out in October as the world has entered significant financial depression. Quote, equities are for losers and bond markets for winners. Equities are simply for people who like losing money. A double dip is inevitable and imminent as Keynesian stimulus measures have never worked anywhere. We are in the equivalent of a Great Depression following 3 years of credit crisis. Griffiths also says he has charted a 20-year secular downturn in the West, which we are currently halfway through. Griffiths' comments echo those of other notable economists and experts who have concluded that zero growth, mass unemployment, and devastating monetary tightening spells depression on a 1932 level. With real measures of unemployment having been at around 20% and rising, that's in America. In Canada, it's around 10 to 15%. Other analysts have pointed out that the numbers are in the same ballpark as the Great Depression. The number of Americans relying on food stamps is at a record level of over 40.8 million. That is one out of every eight Americans, with the figure projected to reach 43 million next year. At the height of the Great Depression, the rate was just one out of 35 Americans. So, back in the day, in during the Great Depression, and also in the Soviet Union, you know, where the globalist powers that be, the central banking families of the world, the New World Order, ran the socialist experiment of this to create the dialectic they're, you know, running on us now. They had bread lines. Today, instead of bread lines, we got food stamps. So, you know, pick your poison, I suppose. it says here, furthermore, the M3 money supply in the United States is contracting at an accelerating rate that now matches the average decline seen from 1929 to 1933, despite near zero interest rates and all the stimulus activity. And the M3 is the total amount of money the Federal Reserve in the U.S. prints every year. So you can keep an idea of how much money is in the system. They stopped publishing that number about 2-3 years ago. And I talked to some friends who are, you know, not conspiracy, but they do know the financial industry well. As I say to them, you know how to play Monopoly. I know that it is Monopoly. So if I want to invest any money in that system, I'll bug you for advice. If you want to know why not to trust that system, you can bug me for advice, because that's my my specialty, at least in that area. And with respect to this, they were not happy about that either. But again, we're all given ways to live with being not happy. Live with ways to be not happy with ourselves, with our family, with our friends, with our relationships, with work, with our government, you know, and then to go off and play. And theoretically, you know, in the same way that you work out to train for, you know, X, Y, or Z, we should be working out our brains to train us to deal with problems in better ways than simply trying to escape them. And so that's something, that's one reason why I bring up music a lot, because at the end of the day, this isn't just simply my speculation. If you actually listen to, you know, the opening track from the Jimi Hendrix unreleased album that we're listening to right now, Freedom, unreleased. Well, obviously I have a copy, but it's got some Russian characters on it. Bought it at a CD store a while ago. Took a flyer on it, and if you listen to a song like that, and how he's going, freedom, we need freedom. Freedom is so dope. Then it could get you in the mood to handle protecting your own. You know, I seen a bunch of guys on Saturday watching the UFC fights at the bars, you know, around Toronto, and I'm thinking, all right, now what? I mean, did that do anything for you? Did that get you in a fighting mood, or was that like sort of, you know, fight pornography where you kind of blew your load and you don't have much left in terms of fight yourself because you just, you know, spent it all watching, you know, two other guys fight? Regardless of what you think, because I know how this game works, if you like something, you'll defend it. And people will defend 24, I'll defend hip-hop, you know, people will defend UFC. I got buddies who are conspiracy that are defending UFC like it's all, you know, 100% on the up and up. And it's all noble and all this sort of thing. And I'm not saying that the athletes within, you know, aren't necessarily doing their best in that sport, and that it is, you know, a hell of a skill set to be able to scrap, you know, even on a purely physical level like that. But I was watching a UFC soap opera where the first 45 minutes is a reality TV show. You're in a house with a bunch of UFC fighters talking about how badass they are and how, you know, incredible what they're doing is. And then getting into random, you know, stupid confrontations with each other. And, you know, sort of like you're back in high school. You want to go? No. You want to go? Huh? You want to go? And that type of thing. And then at the end, there's like a you know, last 15 minutes or so is devoted to the fight that's been the subject of some of this. And and I'm just amazed at how, you know, we'll freely say that reality TV shows are scripted, where people are encouraged to act certain ways, and of course through the editing process you can create, you know, a more tense or whatever narrative out of the raw footage you collect. But again, if you like it, then you'll defend it. And so, fair enough. Like it and defend it. What is it producing for you?
Bring along a bottle and a present, and sometimes it's not so easy, baby. Especially when your only friend talks, sees, looks, and feels like you. And you do just the same as him. It gets very lonely out this road, baby.
I mean, that's the thing, because if it's not producing, you know, happiness outside of that, strength outside of that, then maybe it's not the only thing you should be doing with your time. And why am I preaching on these issues? Because I can see that we soft as baby poo in this country. You know, we're a bunch of fans. We're fans of the Leafs and fans of UFC and fans of this and fans of that. And dudes ain't got that kind of swagger to what they got going on necessarily. And then makes them petty, and it makes them weak, and it makes them whatever, you know? I saw a dude leering out of a truck this morning at a cute blonde girl at the corner of Ossington and Dundas. And she kind of, and I looked over at her. Because I just wanted to know what this guy was looking at as he was, you know, crossing me as I was walking up. And she, her back was to him. You know, she'd kind of wandered away a bit. And he had defiantly kept staring. And I'm thinking, dude, you're soft as baby poo. Like, I saw your arms, you know, out of the truck. And they're bigger than mine. You know, a lot of guys' arms bigger than mine in the city. But you're soft as baby poo. To be trying to dominate somebody like that. And I've noticed a couple of times in the city, you know, just yesterday, a pregnant chick trying to cross the street, and she got a little kid with her too, a Asian pregnant chick, and this dude is thinking of cutting her off. Like, as he's turning right, he's thinking, ah, you know what, I can zip by this chick. And it wasn't like, I mean, you shouldn't wait a long time, but if someone's there, the whole damn thing will take a second. And so I glared at him, and he stopped. And the cute pregnant Asian chick, you know, she smiled at me, and she crossed, and I crossed, and that was it. Because that's the kind of character that's engineered from not having anything going on. And that's what they've tried to do with us. They've tried to put us in a position where we don't feel empowered ourselves. So we can't certainly take on anybody strong. You know, if we see, you know, a couple of us dudes see some ish going down, we might just as be likely to run from it as we would to handle it. And so, you know, locally, we'll have trouble protecting our blacks. And then on the bigger picture, when it comes to taking on, you know, the powers that be evil, they try and get us used to the idea that we should pick on people weaker than us. And it's a slippery slope downhill. I mean, how do you think they convince, you know, the troops over in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, to fight for, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years almost? And yet, if you look at news reports coming out of that region, which we don't get many of, then you'll also see that they've got the highest suicide rates in history when it comes to the U.S. military and other militaries there for that matter. You know, there's like a suicide a day in the U.S. military from what they're forced to do over there. And that's an intense situation. You know, that's an intense, intense situation. But it is simply another version of what they're doing to us here. Getting us to believe stupid stuff, do stupid stuff, you know, dehumanize people, don't trust them, assume they don't trust us, and then we feel pretty crappy. So, and again, the number here is 416-595-1655. I do promise to take calls in the show, and so I would like to do that. I would also like you to email me at blackkrishna@gmail.com, blackkrishna @gmail.com. Because I'd like you to tell me what you are doing for somebody else with respect to what you hear on this show. Did you warn people about vaccines, fluoride, aspartame, MSG? Did you share any information that can help them make sense of the world? Because if not, I'm not sure when you will. And that's my issue. Because we just got to kind of know. Like, we got to know. Like, what are we actually going to do about these problems? You know? Here in Communist Canada, and also this happened in the States for a lot of things, we like feeling the right thing, saying the right thing. And the right thing to feel is bad. And the right thing to say is it's bad. And the right thing to say is people should do stuff. But that's just to get us out of social situations. You know, is there any meat on that burger? because I tell you what. I'm going to let Mr. Alan Watt talk to you for a sec about predictive programming. Because it's important. Because he'll break down, you know, how these ideas are implanted into our head so we can know to reject them as they come up in our culture.
Progress, this destiny of progress, has never been defined to the public exactly where you're going, and that's not by chance. Although it is told to you legally through movies and novels, and even songs, because that's called predictive programming, because legally, they must tell you what they're doing. And they do all the time in the movies and novels and music. Plato described the whole technique. Today we call it a form of indoctrination, predictive programming, which means that through fiction, or through when you're enjoying yourself, through being entertained, undercover, entertained comes from tin, the cover. When you're under the cover, your sensor part of your mind is not working. And when it's not working, you're unaware that you're being downloaded like a computer. And so all the little emotional techniques they use, and you're identifying with the hero or the female with the heroine, and there's people in between these days, and all that kind of stuff. Once you start identifying with the characters, they've got you, because they can take you anywhere, no matter what that character does, because as long as you identify this much with them, they can take you that much into where they want you to go emotionally. And so when the real things start to happen in your own life, you say, well, this is kind of familiar to me. And you can object to it. Because you're thinking, well, I guess it's the only way we could go in society in this particular area. I guess it's a natural evolution. But no, your mind was prepared, because these guys are the shepherds, you know. They have another bunch of slaves and scientists that work for them who do this mind control business, and they farm. First of all, they know what they want to grow in this field, what kind of crop they want to grow, and how high, and how many. And they first prepare the land. You know, they cut the brush, they plow it, they harrow it, they do all the necessary groundwork, and then they sow the seed and watch it grow. You see, and cultivate it. Well, that's what they do with your mind in preparation for every event that will happen in your life, every major event in your life. You've seen it all through movies, especially in this day and age. And in the last century, it was primarily, well, in the 20th century, it was primarily novels and stage plays and music halls, etc. But today, it's in everybody's TV, the one I set, the Lie of Lucifer, or Ra, you know, the Tale of Levi, Zion. And they program it right into you through entertainment, and then you see it happening in your life, and you think, well, I guess that's okay, it's sort of natural, isn't it? And you don't think any more beyond that. Where did that idea come from in the first place? It's marketed to you through entertainment. And that's the prime reason for entertainment. It's not for you to sit and have music while you chew the grass like you're like a little sheep. It's to program you. And that's why you have to have big bucks to get in to the entertainment industry. Big bucks. And you must be qualified to be a very high degree Mason who knows the scores, they say. Because they can't let any Joe Bull come in. Plato said that thousands of years ago. Culture is created from the top and put down to the people. You're taught it comes from the grassroots, you see, and just sort of withers or blossoms or like weeds it grows, and it doesn't, because they can't allow anything to come from the grassroots. Because it's not in their plan. You can never tell the unforetold consequences the most simplest, seemingly innocent thing could possibly do, the rippling effects, and what it would affect, and so on. So everything comes from the top down in this culture creation business. And it's always been that way in civilization.
Back, CKLN listeners. So you heard Alan Watt talk about a theme that I'd like to stress on this show fairly often. Because, put it this way, everything that we have to know is stuff that we've forgotten. You know, if you showed up someplace new and you weren't sure what was going on, then, you know, you'd keep your eyes open. And you'd notice things. And you try and, you know, judge the character of a place to see if you felt safe or not. And see how it works. Well, when it comes to our reality as well here, you know, it's the exact same situation applies. You know, how do your big institutions treat you? How do we treat the most vulnerable? How do we treat each other? You know, what are our interests? And there's a bunch of great people here. Yeah, that's the point, is that, you know, really great people could just, you know, talk to each other. and then, you know, in small decentralized groups, pressure the people that are supposedly representing them to see whether or not they, you know, represent. And if that happens, then we're good. And if it doesn't, then we're screwed. So, I'm on Infowars.com again. Just because they've been doing this recently with their listeners. And it's been very effective. I think Jones has about 2 million a day or something, like 4 or 5 million a week. who tune in and out of his radio show in the afternoons, weekdays, and Sunday evenings. And you know, so you've heard me play a bunch of clips of it here on the show because I think it's good. I think he's good. I think he's real. And I think he's, you know, he's the best in the biz after doing it for, you know, 3-4 hours a day for years. So what he and his fans are doing is they are attacking the web before the web attacks us. And I'm getting attacked right now on the web. I don't know what the hell's going on, but I've had internet in like 5 days in my house. I pay for it, and it's got the signal strength for the wireless, and I've got a cable there, but I can't open up anything in Mozilla or Firefox or Explorer. And I just tried again yesterday, and it's just like, ugh, I can use my computer elsewhere, but so I got to figure out what's going on with that. I sent them an email, my service provider, so I'll figure something out. But anyway, President Obama's real name, quote, Barry Sotoro, tops Google Trends. And for those of you out there who don't know, President Barack Obama was supposedly born in Kenya, and his grandmother even said, you know, yeah, I was here. She was recorded on tape saying, yeah, Barack was born right over there. He's such a sweet boy or whatever. And there's tons of other evidence. Plus, he went to school in Indonesia, where he was registered as Barry Sotoro. And there's no documentation of him changing his name in the U.S., where you'd come here and you'd go, yeah, this is my name from that country where I lived and my passport, and I want to change it to this. So who the hell knows what's going on with him? But you can go to ObamaCrimes.com, attorney Phil Berg's website, to get the latest on pushing this issue, as well as Infowars.com here, as I get into the article by Aaron Dykes. Yet another search term announced during the Alex Jones show, quote, Barry Sotoro has topped Google Trends hot searches. And that means a boost to exposing important keys to President Obama's true history. The number one search trend corresponds with a visit to Austin, Texas today from President Barack Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sotoro. This is yet another success for our active listeners, which will help to expose the truth about the president's deeply buried past. It will further drive internet readers to Paul Joseph Watson's vital article, Barry Sotoro, a.k.a. Barack Obama's political dynasty, crashes and burns, which exposed the desperate state of his failing administration, now posting the lowest approval rating for any president in history at this point in time. Again, I hate Obama. I hate Bush. I hated all these people, you know, when I learned to. And what we often do is we often feel like keeping the meaning of something or what we were told something means as opposed to what, you know, it actually does or provides. And that was the whole Obama presidency. You could talk to people and they were like, it's so good having a black president. And I'm like, why? Again, so you can feel good. And I don't even like reading, you know, I have to decide here. I'm just working on your mind control at this point. Like, the technical side of this thing is done. Everything's been written down. It's all in the manifesto. I blasted this stuff out. That was kind of like my insurance policy. I was like, you know what? A lot of other people kind of go for this, that, and the other without finishing the plan. So the ways to attack and understand this system, you know, from what we can do, are pretty much done. And then there's some more stuff on the inside in terms of how to, you know, pick that apart and reassign, you know, the bureaucracy to doing something more productive. But all I'm working up against is mind control here. Because if I say something good is happening in a country where, you know, we just like to feel good, will that just make people smile and relax and not think of doing anything? And if I say something bad is going on in a country where we often shrink from serious issues, will that just cause people to shut down and, you know, rock back and forth in a corner sucking their thumb? And you can take these ideas and you can apply them to the culture. Don't take everything so personally. See if these ideas are in our culture, and if so, you know, what we can do about them. Because ultimately, oh, that's better. Because ultimately, just saying things like tons of people are waking up and tons of good things are happening, as I know many people did, doesn't do anything but give you a false sense of security. And in this game, some of the people in this game are the biggest liars out there, because they're dealing with a lot of these issues, and yet they're not dealing with the situation honestly. So you have the truth, but you're not honest with it for yourself or for others necessarily. Because in our keep it happy new age culture, where we're all supposed to, not try and, make anybody feel sad, we say things that mask the reality that we could better understand and deal with. So, again, don't make things personal. Don't be self-absorbed. Don't be egocentric. Don't just say, hey, like, why feel everything like that? You know, there's a bigger world out there, which, you can diffuse your angst into, as opposed to keeping it all bottled up. So Obama's crashing and burning because the people behind him are going for broke, and they're, not that he wants to do the right thing. You know, he did take this job to be the salesman for these jerks. But what you see here is you see the power of listeners to affect pop culture. Because a lot of times people will go to Google Trends and they'll go there to see what they should look at. You know, what is trending? What are we looking at? And so if they see, Barry Satoru as the number one trend, they might be inclined to click on it and find out more about Barry Satoru, a.k.a. Barack H. Obama, a.k.a. the fraudulent, president of the United States. The latest one, since Kennedy, they've pretty much all been scum. And again, that can fill in some of the holes here, some of the clues. Back to the article here. Like previous searches for the Obama deception, poison tap water, the ultimate secret, Google spies, and brain-eating vaccines, InfoWars listeners have driven the term Barry Satoru into the mainstream, and so on and so forth. And yeah, his mother came from a tax-exempt foundation structure where, her job was to fool poor people into, accepting nonsense. And so that whole model of creating, future political leaders is something that we need to understand before we just take these people seriously. From the Toronto Star, though, we do have a bit of fear, a cocktail of fear and so on coming at us. Is suspected migrant ship carrying terrorists or refugees? And it says here, this is from Ravina Aulak, staff reporter. Weeks after it was turned away from Australia, a Thai cargo ship believed to be carrying about 200 illegal migrants from Sri Lanka is now expected to reach Canada any day. The question is, are those aboard terrorists or genuine refugees? Oh, man. It's amazing how they can just put these things out like they're provocative. Again, if you don't know that media has an agenda, may actually take all this stuff seriously. And I remember this Thai ship came in. The CBC had an article last week about it. About just over a week ago about it. And they said that the government and U.S. immigration and Canadian immigration refused to comment on the ship. So not only do you have our bureaucracy just refusing to comment whenever they want to, but again, they were deciding on what the heck to do about this story. But back to Ms. Aulak's article, from what she knows, I suppose. That's the same question that was raised in October when a ship with 76 migrants on board arrived off Vancouver Island. Most of them are now living in Toronto. As Canada monitors the arrival of the MV Sun Sea, a shrill propaganda war has broken out between the Sri Lankan government and Toronto's large Tamil community. Most of them are hardcore LTTE people, Tamil Tigers. Sumith Disanayake of the Sri Lankan High Commission in Ottawa said in an interview with The Star, adding that women and children are also aboard the ship. Quote, the Tigers are trying to regroup here to keep the movement alive. He called them a grave security threat to Canada. But David Pulapillai of the Canadian Tamil Congress dismissed these accusations, calling it fear-mongering among ordinary Canadians. Quote, This is exactly what the Sri Lankan governments had said for the 76 men who came to Canada in October. They all proved they weren't terrorists. The Tamil Tigers, the military arm of the Tamil separatist movement, fought a bloody civil war with the Sri Lankan government forces for nearly 26 years before being defeated in May of 2009. The organization is considered a terrorist group by many countries, including Canada. The war is over, but allegations of ethnic cleansing of the Tamils, a minority in Sri Lanka, continue. So there you have it, folks. Sowing fear in our culture from this. These people aren't even here yet. I mean, the idea of guilty, you can be guilty till proven innocent, but you can be accused at any time of anything. And that may change the burden of proof, you know, on you. And there's another article here. More people released from jail face homelessness, says a report. We have reports on these things, by the way. There's lots of reports out there that talk about how messed up things are. We get lots of reports on, you know, this many people need, we need more food stamps this year. And we need more affordable housing this year. And we need more of this and more of that, more whatever. And that's socialism. That's socialism, basically. Getting the government to do more, having them screw up, having them write another report, getting them to do more, getting them to screw up, having them write another report, having them do more, and so on and so forth. And that's the world that they've created. And speaking with Professor Yelengi yesterday from CongoCoalition.net about the Congo and about Africa, he's just cold. He's going, yeah, man, a lot of these NGOs, they're eating off people who are not eating. Like, if this situation were to get better, these people would be out of a job. And so keep that in mind when it comes to this whole model here. We are in Canada. We want to like everybody. We want to do the right thing. We want to wear the pink ribbon. We want to run around for cancer, raise money for big drug companies for screening techniques so they can find more cancer caused by all the toxins in our environment with no steps towards preventing it. Unless we actually decide to share the information we have. And that's the point. So, here on today's show, before I leave you over to Mr. Colin Smith for 4 hours, taking you one flight up with respect to the best jazz you'll find in this city here on CKLN Radio, it has been your host, VJ, a.k.a. BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, here Mondays through Thursdays, 6 to 7 a.m., and Monday evening, 7 to 8 p.m. Fairly low-key today, because I am caught in a bind with respect to how to beat your mind control. To figuring out if I'm beating your mind control. To figure out if you're beating your mind control. If you'll try to beat your mind control. With some of what we've learned, you know, on this show. Both from me, from what I've picked up from, you know, brilliant people I've, you know, tried to look for. And from the people who you know, guest on this show. You know, I've had people on like Kevin Miller. Director of Generation RX about the drugging of our children by Big Pharmacide. And the movie A Question of Sovereignty, about the loss of Canadian sovereignty, Canadian rights, restriction of our access to health products, vitamins, minerals, herbs, and supplements, and so on, like is being done in Europe right now through the United Nations Codex Alimentarius, where they basically want to control the world's food supply and mandate the use of pharmaceutical drugs as the only option for treatment. And so what do you do when you hear that? Because if you don't pass it on, and if you just take care of yourself, and maybe you go out and get some, you know, ginseng, you know, or whatever, then eventually you won't have it. And if you got a job and you think, hey, I'm just trying to take care of my family, I'm just trying to do my job, I'm just trying to do my thing, you might not have it. Not with, you know, the worst depression in history, around the corner. Now, here's a great thing. I can't leave everybody, you know, depressed and whatever. The great thing is that we're full of nice people. We are open to this information. We are worried. And if you can explain something, you know, fear is caused by ignorance. So if people are scared and think they can just walk around being scared and then escape from it once in a while, that's ignorant. So you can beat ignorance. You can beat fear caused by ignorance by sharing some of this stuff, helping them make some sense of it. And a couple of great websites to pass on, if you don't mind. Infowars.com. naturalnews.com, the best health website in the world. Cuttingthroughthematrix.com, Alan Watts' amazing work. HenryMAKOW.com, some great comment on current culture. VigilantCitizen.com, see how our culture is actually controlled by people behind the scenes who seed it with messages to confuse us and control us. And locally, PressForTruth.ca. You know, definitely they're working on a new film about the G20 situation and what happened there. And so you can see developments on that front. And TorontoTruthSeekers.com, still active on Saturdays. The Toronto Street News, grab that copy of the homeless paper. CanadaFreePress.com, TheAgoraNational.ca. You know, try and look for things that tie you to understanding this culture as opposed to escaping from, you know, what this culture is. Because we're being told to act silly, we're being turned into children, all this retro stuff being sold out there, 80s, rock of ages, all your favorite music, while the kids are being elevated. There's teen love stories, every big movie's a damn teen love, and the kids are being elevated, and the adults are being told to act like kids, being told to play like kids with the same toys, Knight Rider, Transformers, the A-Team, all that, from back when we were kids, and it's weakening our ability to deal with reality. And so you can't just learn this stuff and not do anything and not know why that's happening. So, as I fumble through ways to sort of pick apart this program, this nifty little propagandistic puzzle, I find it enjoyable when I do break through and find ways to do so, and I hope you do too. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.